Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
We'd like to welcome all of you joining us via live stream. Thank you for being patient during this glitch. Have you ever felt like you've been forgotten before? Or have you ever literally been forgotten? I was forgotten once. My neighbor was supposed to pick me up from school, and I, yes, confess that I forgot my son once at school, got a call from the office, had to go pick him up. It's not a good feeling, is it? And the waiting is hard, the feeling that you've been missed or overlooked or neglected or uncared for. Let's listen to Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 16. Sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their sorrow. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us, the Lord has forgotten us. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for a child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. So we want to take some time this morning to allow you to reflect on God's care for us. But first, I want to let you hear a chorus that we're going to sing. And then we're going to teach you a way that you can be involved in worship and in an expression of worship this morning as well. So this is the chorus to the song. Help me out, Sean. Please, somebody help me.
Hallelujah, I belong, I am loved, I am yours.
Very simple.
Hallelujah,
as you know, we have asked you not to sing, and I know as a singer, I know how hard that is to not be able to sing. So we decided for this chorus, we would teach you to sign this chorus so you can still participate in worship with us. So we're going to take this line by line. So our sign for hallelujah, you're going to bring your hands together and come up. Now, you may have noticed we hold out ha a little bit, so we're going to keep our hands together on ha and move on hallelujah. Okay? So we're going to go hallelujah. All right? Now, our next sign is I belong. I is really simple. You just point at yourself. Belong, you're going to link your fingers together and come up. So I belong. And our next line is, I am loved. And again, I. The word for am, you're going to make a fist with like this with your thumb to the side, and it's going to come to your chin. So it's, I am loved. Okay? I am loved. And our next line, I am yours. So I am yours. I am yours. Okay? Let's try that all together now. So we're going to go, hallelujah, hallelujah, I belong, I am loved, I am yours. Okay?
Let's practice. Here we go.
Hallelujah, I belong, I am loved, I am yours.
One more time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, I belong, I am loved.
I
I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you upon the palm of my hand. I will never leave you as orphans. I cannot forget the ones who I love. Does a mother forget the newborn child or a baby within the womb? Even if she could, even if she would, I will never forget you.
Before you were born, you were special to me. I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. With my own hands, I fearfully and wonderfully created every detail that makes you unique. I knit together your body, your soul, and your spirit. I saw you long before you ever existed. I watched every day of your life, so I know you. I know where you have been, where you are, and where you're going. If only you knew the thoughts that I have toward you. Did you know my thoughts for you outnumber the grains of the sand on all the beaches of the world? You are the apple of my eye. When trouble approaches, I hide you in the shadow of my wings. I have even engraved you on the palms of my hands. It is my love for you that makes you precious and honored in my sight. I created you for my glory, and I will never abandon what I have formed and made. My goodness and love will follow you every day of your life. So do not fret. I will fulfill my purposes for your life. And always remember, my love endures forever and ever.
I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you upon the palm of my hand. I will never leave you as orphans. I cannot forget the ones who I love. Does a mother forget the newborn child or a baby within the womb? Even if she could, even if she would, I will never forget you.
In shame, I vowed God didn't need me. I could barely say his name. I'd let him down so badly. I was only sure he must look at me through eyes that could only see disgust. I vowed when I was better, I'd maybe let him in. I vowed when I was fixed, I'd sort things out with him. I couldn't come before him in such a troubled state. I felt so ashamed, and so I thought that I should wait. I had to sort my head out. I had to heal my heart. I'd only let him down, and I didn't want to fall apart. I'd only make him angry when I proved I couldn't be the child that he hoped and intended me to be. Then from somewhere, I heard a gentle voice come through. I want to walk beside you. I've been waiting here for you.
Does a mother forget a newborn child or a baby within the womb? Even if she could, even if she would, I will never forget you. Does a mother forget a newborn child or baby? thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you will never fail me yet. The promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you never fail me yet.
I know the night.
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again.
My heart will sing.
Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your hands, this is my confidence.
Faithful. Amen. Great job with the signing, by the way. Well, I'm going to transition now. We have our offering bucket here in the back on your way out. If you have an offering here to bring and to give today, you can leave it there. There's still many options to a few options to give online as well. We remind you, you can do that on our website. Well, it has been 21 weeks, 21, since we have last seen or heard from Joanne or Tony giving a message on this platform. Talk about the world being topsy-turvy, right? The last message that they delivered here was on March 1st, and the title was How Jesus Honors Those Who Are Wronged. A little trivia there for you. But we welcome them back wholeheartedly. I'm glad they're back. Glad we're back into the swing of things here in this building. And we're also really, really glad that we have this platform to go outside of these walls as well for all of you watching and listening at home or wherever you are. So now we invite Joanne and Tony to come forward, and let's welcome them back.
Hey. Thanks, Sean. Well, it looks different from the last time we stood up here, too.
Can't get my mask off with my mic. Oh, there we go. 21 weeks. What have you been doing? I guess I'm starting here. I'm still trying to get my mask off. Oh, my goodness. We have the sign up here, and we're back. Yeah. And, of course, you've seen us online and on the recordings in the last few weeks as we've been in and out a little bit. Just delighted to be here. It is very different. I mean, this is not what we saw at the beginning of March, but we love you all dearly. We love you all dearly. We thank you for loving us too, giving us a few breathing weeks each summer. So that we enjoyed that the last few weeks. But man, what a summer. Even when this started in March, I never imagined we'd be here in August doing it this way. And would we be wearing masks to church? We'd have trouble believing that. And masks, of course, are like everything else in our culture right now, one of the many points of contention in our society.
Yep.
And you know, this is Hosanna. As on most things, there's a whole spectrum of beliefs on this issue right here among us.
Right.
But here's the difference. We're bound together by something that is so deep and so real that there's no way we're going to let something like mass divide us, are we?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And thank you. If you don't want to be wearing one this morning, bless you for doing it. If you absolutely believe that we ought to be doing it, bless you for doing that. And we just keep honoring one another. There's a reason we spoke so passionately about our unity in the Spirit this spring. We did a number of messages on that and what the Spirit is up to. It wasn't irrelevant to what was going on. It was core to what's going on. It's absolutely critical in a polarized world that we remember what it is that truly makes us one. It's not politics. It never has been. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about the culture, the world, the church as a whole. There's something deeper, something better, and we must, mm-hmm. we absolutely must lean into that and show the rest of the world what we have to offer.
Yep.
Now, I do appreciate that there are quite a few folks showing quite a bit of humor about all of this, yeah. particularly with the masks. So I went to the source of all things true, the internet, and found a few images that have used me at least. Here's some. Apparently, a lot of people have a secret desire to be animals. There is a cat, a dog, a tiger, and a rhino. Right. I have not seen the rhino one. And here is a duck, and a goose.
Oh.
Duck, oh. duck, goose, you get, okay.
We're back.
My scintillating sense of humor is still sharp. Some people, men and women alike, apparently want instant facial hair. And here we go, the mask gimmick. Isn't that awesome? So don't have to grow it anymore.
Yeah.
And others want to share messages with their masks. There's the guy who walks into a bank with a mask who says, I am not a thief. Whoever thought we'd be wearing masks at the bank. The young woman who wants you to know that even though you can't see her mouth, she's smiling. This is my happy face.
I saw one the other day that actually has, you know, it's a regular mask, but it has like a clear film right where your mouth is. So you can see people smiling.
Yeah.
I'm ordering some of those.
I would love those because I've got hearing loss and I hate wearing hearing aids. So I didn't realize how much I relied on reading lips until everybody started wearing masks. And of course it's muffled a little bit too. So I'm like, what? Right. I haven't heard what anybody said for the last 3 months, but there are others who are trying to give messages that are encouraging to us. Sharon had a good one this morning.
Yeah.
Shelter in grace.
Shelter in grace.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one. So anyway, these are my favorites. Here's one that is particularly nice. Yeah, all the people who want to share hope.
Yep. Yeah. Oh,
and that's me.
I
we're
was
out of practice.
Enjoying that. Yes. And hope is something that we Christians do have to share, and we have it in ample supply. At the beginning of this year, we were full of hope. About where God was going to be leading us. Remember that annual theme from 2020? There, honor everyone, from 1 Peter 2:17. That was the theme. When we were praying and discerning that theme last fall, we had no clue what would be happening this year, just like everybody else. Actually, the truth is we rarely know with certainty what God has in mind when he gives us these yearly themes. We just go with it. Whatever God's giving us, we go with it, and we unpack it together throughout the year. But this year, the theme turned out to be far more relevant than we could ever have imagined, because it seems that Jesus commands to not only honor our family and friends, but to honor everyone, including our enemies, has really come to the forefront during this time of unprecedented challenge and change, hasn't it? It's like right there in our face, in the world at large, in our own nation and culture, and particularly in the church. We are living in an incredible period of history. And I know there are several of you out there who are students of history, like Tony and myself. And you know, we can look back and we can see times like this in history where, well, 14th century England, the plague, right? There were times. We're living in one of those times. They're going to write about it in history books long after we're, you know, on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, see, I'm getting off the notes already. I've missed talking to you. All right, so we're living in an incredible period of history, and that seems to be the primary point that God wants us to get this year, right? That it's one thing. It's a good thing for us to explore the scriptures and learn more in our heads and in our hearts about what it means to honor everyone. But it is another thing entirely to actually take responsibility for that before God and do what he's commanding us to do. That's the hard part. That's what we're being called to in this theme this year. Honor everyone is God's invitation to every one of us to consider how we actually live and how we might live differently and how we might see differently and how we might love differently. We are living in a time when history is being made. And times like this offer not only unprecedented change, but also unprecedented opportunities. Opportunities, if we'll just open our eyes and see them, to make real, lasting change, to make change that makes a real, lasting difference for Christ right where we live. So, yes, it is a time when dishonoring those who look, speak, believe, or even vote differently is the norm. But let's be people who are truly different, people who do honor everyone just as Jesus did. And just as Jesus did, people who preach so loudly with our love in action that others might actually want to listen to what we're saying. They might actually want to hear our words. So part of, you know, us coming back to you after 21 weeks, I hadn't counted them, is to pick up right there. The theme has been unfolding. We haven't missed a thing. We haven't skipped a beat. It's been hard, I know, for everyone. But let's not miss this opportunity moving forward to honor everyone as God does, and then we also honor God in the process.
Mm. And so we want to honor some people today.
Mm-hmm.
Just quick in passing, but it means an awful lot to us. First of all, thanks to Rick and Jared Patty for the past 3 weeks doing far more than just filling in for us. This is, as Joanne was just saying, it's a challenging time. We need to remember what is true, and each of you did that in some remarkable ways, so we're grateful. I just thought every single one of those messages was just spot on for what we needed to hear and done with just such grace.
Yep.
So thanks for your wisdom. Thanks for your love for us. By the way, Jared is out today with the youth on a retreat weekend. They didn't get to go on their missions trip this summer because of COVID. And so they're at least...
And the seniors in particular.
So they're trying to make that up to them a little bit.
Yeah.
So. We also want to honor...
I'm off the rhythm, aren't I? We also want to honor the tech team and the worship team. I know that we honored Amy in particular because she has really stepped up with her gifts during this time. And I just want to, since I wasn't here, thank you. We honor you. But also, widen it out from Amy to every team member on the tech team, on the worship team, who are serving Christ in love week in and week out on this platform or back in the booth here in the building or at home. Thank you. Thank you for the countless hours that you invest behind the scenes and rehearsals, behind the scenes in the mysterious world of cyberspace, which, oh my word, that's more mysterious to me than any of the mysteries of the Christian faith. But you're doing all of this to keep us as a body here, as well as the body of Christ, to keep us invisibly connected together as one. Your gifts inspire us. Your generosity overwhelms us. We are so grateful to God for your ministry among us. So we honor all of you.
Yeah. want to mention also those who are doing all the cleaning to make sure this is safe for us. But while we've been not in this building, there's an awful lot of work been done around this building. We have some elves that have just been just been incredible, and they're still at it. And I can't wait for the day when we can open all this up and you can see all the things that look really awesome. We've still got a few things we're working on stuff, so that's cool. Also want to honor everybody who's been caring for each other through the hard time. The elders have been doing super heroic work. Deb is all this checking in with people and taking care. Kelly and Jared and the others have been taking care of our kids, and all the ways you've done it too. See, because it hasn't just been about COVID. Life as normal has intruded during this time. There's been unexpected deaths. There's been surgeries. Yes. There's been job losses. There's been relational conflict and heartache in the middle of all of this. And all the pandemic has done is just made it harder logistically to be able to care for people. It's harder to be with people when in the hard times. And but man, with folks here, you found some ways. Yep. And thank you for taking good care of each other.
Yeah. Yep. And because you're all worthy of honor, we want to honor everyone, every person who's part of our community, wherever you are, and wherever you are out there in cyberspace. We want to honor you for all the ways that you've modeled grace, humility, generosity, and compassion during this time, especially when no one else notices or is even looking. We honor your character as Christians. We are never alone. The God who sees all has been with you, with all of us, through all of this, and will continue to be with us. And that God who sees all is seeing what you're doing, and that you're doing the best that you can do in these circumstances and going even further, doing even more. God sees you and God smiles, and so do we. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this morning, we'd also like to take some time then to honor your experiences during these past months and give us all a chance maybe to hear from one another in some ways that we haven't been able to do together up till now. So we're going to, in just a moment, we're going to take some time for a bit of personal reflection, and then we're going to take some more time to hear your voices in addition to ours as you share some of your stories of what this experience has been like for you so far. As you share, the rest of us will honor you by listening and learning from what God's done in your lives. Okay? So we're going to, let's just get to it. For the reflection portion of our sharing time, I'm just going to invite you to get still. Close your eyes. Maybe take a couple of deep breaths, if that helps. And allow yourself to become aware of God's invisible presence here with us and within you. Just become aware of God, the one who's always here. And as we do that, we are asking the Holy Spirit to use our minds, our memory, our hearts, our imaginations, to reveal God's desire, God's will to us, God's heart for us, as we prayerfully reflect through a few questions, just some prompts. First, over the past 5 months, what have you been noticing? I mean, are there themes and patterns that have been drawing your attention? Emotional, physical responses, relational dynamics, people, places, events, anything else? What have you been noticing? What's been drawing your attention?
And a second question. And by the way, when you do open your eyes, these are on the screen, so you'll be able to remember what these are. What gifts or graces have you received during this time? Mm-hmm. Been focused so much on what has been lost and what has been hard, but what goodness has snuck into your life in the middle of all of this? maybe even because of all of this. Can you notice any gifts or graces?
What specific challenges or losses have you experienced during this time?
And now, how have you been reacting to all of that? What's been stirred up within you through this experience? Mm-hmm. What have you noticed about yourself, your own emotions, your instinctive responses to events and to people? Maybe even how have you grown as a result?
What are you hoping for? What are your hopes, your desires, moving forward into the continuing uncertainty of this time? You know, as you notice some of the ways that you've been reacting and behaving, what do you desire most deeply as you move forward? What are you wanting and needing from God in order to move forward in the ways that you most deeply want to?
Finally, what is God inviting you to do or maybe even be differently so this hope can become a reality in your life?
Yep.
We're not done yet. We never are. So what are you sensing God wants you to do differently, to live your life differently going forward? What invitation might God be offering to you? Mm-hmm. Maybe offering to all of us as we move forward into whatever this adventure holds for us next. Now, that's a lot of questions to give you at once. Let me just give you a moment to just let that percolate and see what emerges. We're going to give you a few more moments. You can open your eyes, and the questions are here on the screen for you. You can probably see them at home as well. And take a few moments and jot down some notes. You can do that on your own device if you have, or in your hand if you want, but we did distribute some paper and pens that are supposedly sanitized.
Yes.
And clean, and feel free to use them if you want. Jot down a few things. What woes within you as we were asking these questions? What is it that God may have for you? We'll give you a few moments, and then we're going to be inviting you to share some of them. Mm-hmm.
You can keep jotting if you know, as things are coming to you. But we do want to open up and use some of the time here to hear from one another. Those who are here in this room can come up at any time and share from the mic, just the way that Sharon did earlier. Thanks for modeling that for us, Sharon. That mic, don't ask me all about the tech stuff, but somehow it magically is able to capture your voice from standing back on the step or right next to the step on the
floor. It can hear me back here.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about sanitizing that mic in between sharing because nobody's touching it, and it'll pick your voice up. So if you're here and you'd like to share, then do it that way. It also allows the folks at home to be able to connect a voice with a person, which is nice in these times. If you're not in the room, those of you who are online, live streaming right now, we would invite you to write a comment in the Facebook comment space.
YouTube.
Yes.
You're watching on YouTube, and we normally disable the comments, but for this experience, we're going to enable comments, so that if you're watching on YouTube, you can actually comment. Directly.
Okay, great.
The YouTube live chat on the right side of the
YouTube
screen.
YouTube live chat. Okay, thank you. And then what we'll do is, if someone's writing comments in this in that space, then Jeff or Amy will be reading them as they come in. Okay? So that's what we're up to. So we invite you. Yeah, just come on up.
Yeah. And if we don't call you or don't remember to call you by name or whatever, feel free, please say your name for those who may not know who you are behind your beautiful mask.
We did give some advance warning that this was coming in the email that went out this week. So,
Well, thank you. I started writing my notes at the first worship song.
Pardon me, Tim? Tim?
Yes.
Unlike how Tony demonstrated earlier, can you please, thank you. Yes, fantastic. Thank you.
First, I'd like to say I feel very, very blessed. From the very beginning, I never lost my job. I've been able to work, unlike so many other people.
Yeah.
Hope hasn't worked at all, but God really blessed us, met our financial needs, put us in a place that we're in a very good shape. Two aspects, one, my work life and my spiritual life, that address all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the risk manager where I work, and right away at the beginning I was appointed as the chief coronavirus coordinator. More than half my time every week is spent with the coronavirus. I've had to write all our protocols and many of them before there was guidance out there. I spend many calls every day with plant managers deciding if a person comes back to work or has to stay home, sometimes almost like life and death questions.
Yeah.
I was appointed, but there's times I feel like I was anointed because after I'm done in the discussion, I think, where in the heck did that come from? Because it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
Much like my experience in school boarding, I would often say things and I didn't know where it came from. I realize that God has been very good to me that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I do come home terribly drained, like never before. In addition to my work life and coronavirus, I'm on the school board, and as you read in the paper even today, all the return of school plans and all that mess. And so I come home terribly drained. We did a lot of ballroom dancing, and I'd lost.
Yeah.
Something inside that I can't dance. I don't want to dance. There's not a joy there that I want to dance. I feel terribly mentally anguished and frustrated. On the flip side, though, one good thing is with extra time at home, when we had to work from home, I've done a lot of projects around the house that never got done before. But through this and having to interact with government-issued things, I have developed such an anger. And I'm just going to say it like it is. The boneheads in Washington, the boneheads in Harrisburg that are not focused on us, the people, but focused on their politics and all the other junk.
Mm-hmm.
I've not expressed it publicly, but I've written things, and I'm glad I never mailed them. On my spiritual life side, again, what's impacting me is our society, as Joanne mentioned, is upside down, or Tony mentioned, it's upside down. I can't believe the things that are going on in our society, the hatred, the fear, the destruction. Again, the politics that are causing a lot of it, the groups that claim to have a good message but underlying are anarchists and wanting to destroy the freedom. And it really bugs me because I'm a veteran. I put my life on the line for this country, and they want to tear it down. And it brings me to the thought, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. God, where are you? But God, what would you have me do in this time? And he's quiet. He seems to be so, so quiet. And another question that really bugs me is, where is the church? Mm-hmm. With all the other noise, I hear nothing from the church. And I looked up, it's like, where are the great leaders that are in our history, like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, a William Wilberforce, or a Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Where are those kind of people? A Billy Graham, a Billy Sunday? Where's the church's voice? It bugs me so bad. And yet through all of this, what I feel God leading me to do and challenging me is, Tim, it's all right to have that hatred, but express it with love.
Yeah.
Say what you're going to say with love when you do share, when you finally speak. Before this COVID mess started, I had a dream that I shared with Joanne, and I won't go into that. And it kind of got derailed. But yet, I'm wondering, is it really being unfolded? And through this, mysteriously, to the grace of God, Daniel and Peter keep popping in my mind. Daniel, who served in a place in a foreign land and was true to God, but in a place that tried to destroy God. And Peter, who was bold in what he said and often wrong, but so bold that he was right in the end and really served God well. Mm-hmm. And that's where my hope is. I just know something's going to happen. There's going to be a Daniel and a Peter again.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
Wow, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, and again, thank you that at least our part of the church is a safe place for people to say what's on their hearts and even to disagree with one another. So there's someone who might stand up and disagree with our brother on some things. Who knows? Or with anyone else who might. But that it's a safe place because, like you said, Tim, love is the heart of the whole thing. And if we can't do it here, love one another, what do we have to offer the world? If we can't find ways to resolve the conflict, the tension of disagreements and differing opinions and even different political stances, if we can't do that here, how on earth are we going to do that out there, right? So thank you. Thanks for being you. You what?
I want to dance.
You want to dance? Okay, you and Hope back in the corner, do your ballroom thing. Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Okay.
So, like the good Mr. McKinney, my name is Rick also. I'm not as fast and as bright as Tim, so I had to start my answers yesterday. So, I wrote
Thanks for reading that email.
I wrote a bunch of things, but I'm not going to talk about all of them. God's been really good to me. You know, I've written 60 pages in my journal since this COVID started, and I've read 6 or 7 books that have really been helpful to me.
Yeah.
But the one theme that came out to me in some of the music this morning was this theme of belonging or belongingness. Mm-hmm. And it's an issue that I've wrestled with for 15 years at least. And the Lord has taught me in these past few months about belonging and belongingness. And here's what I wrote yesterday. I learned about the importance of belonging and belongingness. Belonging to ourselves, to God, mm-hmm. to our family, yeah. to our friends, and to other social groups. This is a fundamental need. For 15 years, I pondered the question why doing genealogical research was important to me. And I didn't have an answer. While I was in counseling in Nashua, New Hampshire, 15 years ago, I used to muse about this with my counselor. And I asked her, I said, why is this a tool that's helping me? And I knew it was, you know, my intuition told me that it was something important, but I couldn't tell you why. Mm-hmm. On the 31st of May, Tony used a word when he was teaching. I think it's a word that we all use every day, multiple times, the word interspersal. And I was, frankly, I was in the shower in the next few days, and I just was thinking about what he had taught that Sunday. And that word interspersal just lit something up in my mind for me. And what it talked about was I'm interspersed, inserted into my family, into my greater family. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an abusive home. So it was hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard seeing being a member of that family. But over time, through much counseling, through God's work in my life, I have been interspersed into that family. And so this key idea of belonging, belongingness, is what came home to me. So in answer to one of the questions up here, what am I hoping for? And I was playing around with the word belonging last night, and I broke it in half. And I put longing in the front and be second. I'm longing to be.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Rick.
Okay,
hey,
Rick.
Mike. While Mike's coming, as you were talking about interspersal, I got an image in my mind of when Jesus said we're like yeast in dough, and that's how the kingdom of God works. You know, we're interspersed like yeast in dough, and it's not about separating out good, bad, right, wrong, us, them. But being interspersed in belongingness. It's good stuff. Hey.
Exactly. Hi. My name is Mike Renfro. There are probably a fair number of you who've never seen me before in your life. I can't actually tell because I can't see behind your masks. But it's been a lot more than 21 weeks since the last time I was here. Sometime way last year, I started having a lot of health problems and things like that. And one of the bizarre things was that my days and nights got totally upside down. So on Sunday morning, I would wake up from a deep sleep at about 9:30 to 10 o'clock and be awake for the afternoon and then go back to sleep somewhere around 8 p.m. I just couldn't get here. The times I tried to come, I sat over there and yawned and snored while Joanne was speaking, or Tony. That was a little embarrassing. So
you probably weren't the only one.
Anyway, I've been out for a long time. What have I been doing during those times? Well, there was the coronavirus, obviously. There was also a family crisis, and I started the whole thing out around Christmas time by being very, very sick myself for a number of weeks. In fact, I would almost bet you that I had the coronavirus, but I've talked to my doctor a number of times. He said, no way, it's impossible. Well, I had all the symptoms in deluxe, I'll tell you. Anyway, got over it, and the good thing is that since that time, now, I don't want to disparage any of you or your relationships. I'm not speaking for anybody except myself. I don't know a single person who's had the coronavirus. Not one. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, maybe you have friends and relatives who have, but I know God is taking care of his people through this. If there's anybody on this planet who is a prime over 65 poor health candidate for coronavirus, it was me. Okay. Instead, what happened was interesting. My wife, Diane, had some knee problems, and She had knee replacement surgery on one of her legs, and it was just before all of the pandemic cautions started going into place. So she got it completed. She got in her recovery, but it took a while. But it meant that she couldn't really do much around the house. Well, I hate to admit this, but I'm a typical old generation patriarchal husband. I hate doing housework. And what's even worse is I hate cooking. Now, if any of you did know me last summer, you might notice something a little bit different. I lost 70 pounds over this period of time.
You're not half the man you used to be.
That's true. My doctor has been telling me for 40 years that I would feel a whole lot better if I would just lose some weight. But I kept telling him, look, doc, you're the expert. I'm not arguing with you. I'm sure that's exactly right. But I have a job that takes me out on business dinners to fancy restaurants very often. I have a wife who's a fantastic cook. I like to eat. And I just don't know how I can possibly accomplish what you're telling me. I respect your opinion. I don't argue with it at all, but I don't know how to do it. And we tried two or three things, and, you know, professionals and all that kind of stuff. Nothing worked. So the fact that this actually happened without me even trying, okay, is an example to me, at least, of how God does use all things for the good of his people.
Yeah.
People who love him. Now, I'm not saying it's been a lot of fun. I've been sitting around the house an awful lot. But you know what? During the time I've been sitting around the house and haven't been able to come to Hosanna, I've been watching some things on the internet. I've been watching some things on the internet that have been incredibly encouraging to me. Now, you got to be careful what you look for on the internet, and you got to filter what's there. Mm-hmm. But, Tim, those people exist. Mm. They're out there. They're not real visible yet. Okay? The enemy's really good at foiling God's plans, but he's not going to succeed with this. Yeah. Now, the following statement is made without any endorsement of the leadership of this church or anything like that. It's my personal opinion. But if you want a little encouragement on that front, especially in the political area, go to YouTube and search on a guy named Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Kahn, C-A-H-N. Jonathan Kahn is a Jewish rabbi who was not a Christian for most of his life until he suddenly had a fairly miraculous conversion and is now a very outspoken evangelical Christian. He ministers to the Jews, but he also ministers to the people in Washington, D.C. There are several recordings of incredible speeches that he gave at congressional prayer breakfasts and actually that he gave directly to President Obama and a few things like that. I won't say anything more, but just if you want some encouragement in that area, there are people out there who are trying to do this. Of course, the enemy would like to stop it. Mm-hmm. Our job is to not let him. In fact, one of the things I've sort of felt over the time that I've been kind of discovering these things, I don't suppose most of you have had a lot of time to spend, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day looking for this stuff on the internet. But I have. And I found a lot of things that I didn't know were there and that are very impressive. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm feeling one of my jobs is to help let people know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? So I'm really happy to be back. I'm happy to see you guys. I hope I'll keep on coming back now.
Do you have any more weight to lose?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hurry up, because then the virus can go away.
Yeah, that's true. But the trick was, see, I didn't do anything.
That's true. So it's great.
That works really well.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thanks, Mike. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Mike.
Wendy. That is Wendy, right? Yeah.
That is Wendy going up and talking to the microphone. Wow. Love your T-shirt.
As she's coming, I just wanted to say one of the things that I've noticed over these weeks. I live alone. How much I took for granted. It's coming here on Sundays. Hugs. I miss hugs. Mm-hmm. I miss being able to be more up close with people and not to have to stand at a distance. Just taking for granted us being able to gather together on Sunday mornings, along with a whole list of other things. But I've really been challenged by God to not take the simple things that matter most in life for granted. So I'm learning. Go ahead, Wynn.
I'm not real spiritual like the ones that have been up here before, but I've learned to appreciate nature a lot more. On April 14th, Brianna found 3 10-day-old kittens.
Oh.
And their eyes were still closed, and their mama was killed, and she was on the road. So she brought these kitties home. So I called the pet place and I asked, how do we take care of these kitties? I don't know what to do. And they said, we have to go get kitty formula, like their mother, and 3 baby bottles, and you need to feed them around the clock every 2 hours. So I thought, oh yeah, how am I gonna do this? Well, my family chipped in and we fed these baby kittens for more than 2 weeks, every 2 hours, round the clock, no making them go 3. They were fed, and now they are 4 and a half months old, and they are the most precious little things.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I call their name, they would come running to me, but they are absolutely a joy. Yeah. Well, we raised them, and then didn't I have a duck? I had a duck. It was sitting in my neighbor's driveway, the boy duck. And I thought, why is he sitting there like that? We thought he was dead. Well, here the mama was on a nest. And the first day there was 1 egg in the nest. And I thought, oh, here we go. So I went and asked that computer, how many eggs does a duck lay? Well, they lay an egg a day for up to 18 days. And I thought, oh, heavens. Well, lo and behold, the next day we go out, there's the second egg, and the third, and the fourth, and we got to 10 days. So I went out the next morning for the 11th egg, and all 10 were gone. They were all gone. Now, where I live, it's completely flat, so I went back to the computer, and I said, where did these eggs go? Well, if the mama and daddy duck don't know there's water around there, which we have no water, a pond, a lake, they will roll their ducks, their duck eggs, during the night.
Oh, wow.
So they took all 10 duck eggs and rolled them to who knows where. I do not know where, and we still don't know where.
Wow.
So then I noticed a mommy and daddy squirrel. I have a big, big tree at the corner of my house, and I see them taking all these sticks and everything. I thought, what are they doing? I have 3 baby squirrels.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have done this because we've been stuck at home and couldn't go anywhere, and I just was watching and seeing how this is going on. So I got also 4 bunnies. They all lived.
Gosh.
3 squirrels, the 10 baby ducks, which who knows where they went, and
a partridge in a pear tree.
So God has really made me appreciate nature and how they take care of their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That duck knew to roll those eggs somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What a picture of the way God cares for us in the midst of
it. It is.
Yeah.
But it kind of, I know when you have God, you shouldn't have fear. But it has made me kind of scared to go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Now, we canceled our vacation. I won't go to the beach. I won't, you know.
Right.
And I think I shouldn't be like that because it ruins the summer, but I don't want to get sick.
It's okay.
And I think, mm-hmm. you know, am I not trusting the Lord? Am I not, you know?
No.
But I'm not ready to go out, so.
And, you know, maybe we can reframe it. You know, God gave us these emotions. They get distorted, and they get used in ways that God never intended. But the more we become aware of the way we're united with Christ, the Holy Spirit can use fear, apprehension sometimes. He might know something. Maybe you need to stay home. We don't know, but we're not going to judge that as something it's not.
Yeah.
You get to... be affirmed.
But like you, I'm a huggy person, and this is the most depressing thing there is, not being able to hug somebody.
Yeah.
It just, I know. And it's all of us that are, you know.
Yeah. So everybody get ready, because when this thing is done,
we're gonna
Wendy
and
I are going to be running around hugging every single one of you.
Isn't that the truth?
Thanks.
But I want the huggy part back, so.
Yeah, thanks.
I am thankful we are back in church.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I just... a kitten for Tony.
If you couldn't hear the question, yeah, Sharon asked if one of those kittens was for me, because for those of you who don't know, I am a great cat lover.
Yes, yes. I think you should put a tutu on it and bring it for it. That's a long old joke, right?
We are keeping these babies. They're too precious. So.
Well, maybe eventually the kids here will have to take a field trip to the Hughes Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The squirrels are still there, though.
Thanks for sharing, and we're going to draw this to a close.
Any comments from online?
Okay.
Okay, you guys are allowed to be quiet, but thanks for being here and listening in.
Yes, and... We're running out of time.
Okay.
So we're going to close. If you feel free to go to is there a place on the website where people can make comments, or our Facebook page or something? Just save them. Save all the sharing. We'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Well, actually, we had suggested if there's sharing you want to do after the fact, there's an email address in the email that you received on Friday, and just email them to us, because at the very least Joanne and I would love to see it. And if there's a time where we can allow you to share with others later on, we'd love to do that. So
that's right.
Well, our last question of these six was what is God inviting you to do so that this hope can become reality? To experience hope, we need to broaden our focus from seeing only with our physical eyes, just seeing what's out here. What is so visibly broken is what we tend to focus on. And instead to focus on what is not impossible to see, but what is invisible with our physical eyes, invisible realities, the things that are also real, but that only faith allows us to see. And so we have a verse to finish with here. Hebrews 11:1, faith means being sure of the things we hope for, being sure of what it is that we hope for, and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it.
Amen. And so, with that verse and that reality in mind, next week we're going to start a new series, new teaching series, called Things Unseen, from that verse. At a time when we're looking and seeing with our physical eyes so much that causes fear and anxiety and can even cause even the most devout Christians, most confident Christians, can waver in the face of some of this. So we're thinking it would be great to spend a few weeks looking at some of the invisible spiritual realities that are revealed in the scriptures. God, of course, and the Trinity, angels. I said to Tony, "This I've been thinking about this all week, because I realized I don't think I've ever preached on angels. It's all through the scriptures, so invisible realities. Angels, the church itself, as well as the communion of saints, which is not a phrase that evangelical Christians often use, but it's a historic, ancient way that the church has understood the invisible spiritual realms. So the church, the communion of saints, among other things. And so we're going to start this series, and we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit will inspire us, encourage us, and give us eyes to see and confidence to live with hope and joy in both the physical world that we can see and the invisible world which are full of the spiritual realities of our faith. All right, amen? That's where we're going. So we're going to invite you to please stand. And you can speak with your masks on. So we're going to pray together. Just join Tony and I in voicing our prayer to God as we close our service today.
Gracious and holy God, give us wisdom to perceive you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us and reveals Jesus Christ our Lord through us.
Amen. May it be so. Oh, it's so good to be with you. And we'll see you again next week.
Blessings.
Blessings.